I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 6. We're wrapping up this epistle today, verse 23, 24. Paul writes, "Peace be to the brothers," or to the brethren, "and love with faith from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Amen. This has been a long series in this epistle. It's been a number of years, and people have asked me several times when we're going to finish it, and I trust that today we can come to the end of it. Although there's so many truths here that it's impossible to try to summarize everything in a few minutes. But Paul, in this epistle, over and over and over again, is talking to us about the uniqueness of the Christian life, the life that's been transformed by the power, the transforming power of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul writes, "Everybody that is in Christ Jesus is a new creation." The very word creation takes us back to the first verse of the Bible. "In the beginning, God created heaven and earth." Adam and Eve sinned, everything was destroyed. Now God creates a new life, a new man in Jesus Christ. In this epistle, Paul has talked about the new man, the new life, the new mind that is transformed by the power of the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul writes, "Do not conform your mind to thinking the way the world thinks, but conform your mind to the Word of God, and the Word of God will transform the way you think. The Word of God will transform the way you live." Every one of us that knows Jesus Christ is a new creation. And today, as we just heard, is a special day. It's the day we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's the day we call Pentecost. It's the day that the church was born. And that day, 3,000 people were added by the power of God to the church. And today, symbolically, we have three people joining the church, giving a testimony by coming into the water that they are dying to the world and they're coming up to life again, a new life in Jesus Christ. I think this is the first time we've ever had a baptismal service on the day of Pentecost that commemorates the birth of the church. And every day since then, up until today, Jesus Christ has been adding one by one those that come to faith and join the church. Jesus does this. It's not something we do. Something else that was notable on that day when the Holy Spirit came is all the people that were gathered there. When you read Acts chapter 2, they heard the gospel in their language. They heard the gospel presented, and when they reacted to that, they said, "We heard with our own ears the wonderful works of God." In every one of your lives, God has done a wonderful work. And today, in several different languages, not as many as on the day of Pentecost, but certainly in Russian and Ukrainian and English and maybe Spanish and some other languages, today, here in our church, we can proclaim the wonderful works of God as the power of God transforms our life. And we only need another 2,997 to equal that 3,000. And Jesus said, "Go out and teach, and those that believe, baptize them." And it would be my prayer beyond our expectations as we go out and minister in the community around us, that we can find another 2,997 people that would come to faith in Jesus Christ and break out these walls in our ceiling into a big congregation that could praise the Lord together in multiple different languages. You see, we do not need to restrict ourselves in our thinking to several people, but to the whole world out there that needs to hear the gospel. And these words, this final benediction of blessing that Paul writes to this church that he loved, and he spent over 3 years, day and night, teaching them. He writes them and summarizes everything he has said in these 6 chapters. He starts with peace and he goes on to love and faith and finally ends with grace. When you go to chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul starts the Ephesians by saying grace to you. He ends the epistle with grace to all that love Jesus Christ. A transformed life A life that's transformed by Jesus Christ is a life all about peace and love and faith and grace. This peace comes from God. This peace is not a peace that we as people have. Originally, when God created Adam and Eve, there was peace. There was peace with God, and there was peace between Adam and Eve and between humanity. You say, of course, there was only two of them. But any of you that have been married, you know how difficult it is to have a peaceful life together, even though you love each other. But sin interrupted the peace that Adam and Eve had between each other and with God. This lack of peace, the result of sin, was felt and seen in the life of Adam and Eve and in their children. One brother kills another brother. Absence of peace, no love, no faith, no grace. Later on in the family of Abraham, we find the conflict between his sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac was the chosen one. Through him, the blessing would come. Jesus Christ would come through the family of Isaac, not Ishmael. And this created conflict. Later on, there was the conflict between another set of brothers. You remember Jacob, the blessing came through him rather than Esau. And so on until our day today. People do not have peace. Not only in the family, but in our society that we live, there is no peace. People want to rule over each other. Nimrod wanted to rule over the whole world, and God did not allow him. When he built the big tower, God intervened, and he mixed up the languages of the world. But the grace of God reveals itself to humanity in that in all of the languages that we have, we can hear the gospel. We can read scripture in our language. Over 3,500 languages and dialects have at least a portion of scripture translated into their language and preached by a missionary someplace, fulfilling the Great Commission when Jesus says, go and teach and baptize. This conflict is not only between people, that want to rule each other, but also we see this conflict, this lack of peace in a material world. People will kill each other to obtain their wealth. And yet Paul writes, if you could obtain everything, and Paul thought he had it all, he says it would not equal the peace that comes from knowing God. And Paul says, everything that I had is like useless garbage that we throw away. By comparison and contrast to having the peace of God. In another epistle, Paul writes, the peace of God will fill your heart and mind to overflowing. But peace is available when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When God justifies you and God removes your sin, and when God looks at you through the prism of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross, then you have peace with God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God. Peace is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit that Paul writes about in Galatians chapter 5. When you have peace with God, you have peace with each other, with your husband, your wife, with your children, with society, with the government, with the people you live in and under. There is universal peace. Peace comes as a result of knowing God. And Paul greets the church. There were some conflicts there, and Paul writes, this is peace. The peace of God, may it rule over you. But this peace can only come to the brothers that have love and faith. You also need to realize Paul has just finished talking to us about a war, a spiritual war, a war that is not with God and not with our brothers and sisters, but a war against Satan and against darkness and against sin. When you come to have peace with God, now you no longer are at war with God, but you are at war with Satan and with darkness. And to have victory and power in this war, God gives us the armor of God that we spent many months going over. God gives us the medium of prayer that we can pray to Him to acquire the strength so that we can, in fact, live at peace with each other. Next, Paul talks about love, which in Galatians chapter 5 is the first of a series of fruits that the Holy Spirit creates in the life of a believer. John in his epistle writes that the world will know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. 1 John, those of you that came on Friday nights a while back when Serge was going through there, love of God and love of the brothers is a test that you can perform on yourself to see whether or not you are a genuine believer. This is supreme love. This is agape love that God loved the world with in John 3:16. For God so agaped the world that he gave his son Jesus Christ so that believers in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Love is not an emotion. It is an action. You can experience love, but you experience love when somebody else expresses love to you. Paul loved this church, and in Acts chapter 20, the very last time he meets with the pastors of this church, in Miletus, when Paul is leaving, they hug each other, and they pray, and they kiss, and they cry, and the pastors express their love to Paul as Paul was leaving, and as they knew they would never again see Paul. That is what God does in our life. He creates this love. This is agape love. Sadly, Revelation, Jesus Christ, through John, the Revelator, he writes to this church. And he says, the love you had, you have lost it. You no longer use it. Your doctrine is right. Your services are good. Your preaching is good. But you do it without love. You do it mechanically. You're cold. Paul writes here, he says, peace to you with the love that God creates in your life. And my prayer is that this love would always be manifest in your life. And so God's peace and love and faith, that's not qualities that we as people have. But as children of God, the Holy Spirit comes to live in our life and he begins to produce this as a harvest that grows and grows and grows. These qualities, they originate with God. Peace and love from God the Father, it says here. God the Father originated our plan of salvation. He did it. He produced it through our Lord Jesus Christ here. In verse 23, Paul ends and says, and so the result is grace. Grace is what we do not deserve. Grace in the language of the day is the word we get mercy from. It's something that's undeserved, unmerited, and yet God gives it to us. Paul started Ephesians with grace. He ends it with grace. And he says it belongs to those that agape love Jesus Christ with sincerity. Sincerity means your whole heart. Jesus told a young man, you will love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything you have. No holding back, no reservation. Let it flow. Let it come out of your hearts. Be sincere. Having said all this, six chapters worth, several years worth, over 100 messages, Paul ends with amen. Amen means let it be so. Let everything we find in these six chapters be exhibited in our life. And that is my prayer, that jointly as you go back, maybe review some of the notes, get some DVDs, and listen to some of these messages as we end this message, that all of us collectively as a church could say, may it be so in my life. Amen.